This is Susan Robb for Teachers for a New Era. I'm talking with Lane Smith, who burst onto the children's book scene illustrating stories by John Cheska, including the true story of the Three Little Pigs, The Stinky Cheese Man, which won a Caldecott honor, and books like Math, Curse, and Science, Verse, which are more recent. If that weren't enough, he's also illustrated Hooray for Diffin Do for Day by Dr. Seuss and Jack Prolutsky, and also James and the Giant Peach by Roald Dahl, and then became conceptual designer for the Disney film version of that. He also wrote and illustrated other books like the Happy Hockey Family books, John, Paul, George, and Ben, which is about the Founding Fathers, and a book called Madam President. His books have been chosen as New York Times Notables, New York Times Best Illustrated Book of the Year, and has many books on the New York Times bestseller list. He provides children, parents, teachers, booksellers, reviewers, and really anyone who comes near his books with a rollicking good time. So, Lane, thank you for talking with me, and to say that we've been suspecting that you've been having an awfully good time with all of this. And I wondered about when you're illustrating these stories. Do you laugh out loud as you're doing that?
That's a good question. Actually, I do sometimes, and I also sometimes I have to make wacky faces of my own in the mirror to capture someone's. I'm sure other illustrators have this same thing where if you're drawing something sad, you're grimacing as you're drawing, and if you're drawing happy, you know. So, yeah, I crack myself up.
But there are a lot of faces in your books. Is it exhausting then to illustrate?
Yeah, fortunately, I don't do it 7 days a week, so I could rest on Sundays.
Now, the books engage people on lots of different levels, and I wondered why you think they have worked so well for kids and adults. Really, they are all ages, and lots of people claim that, but that's not always the case.
Yeah, we certainly don't speak down to kids in any of the books we've done, the books I've done on my own or with others like Bob Shea, John Cheska, Jack Prolutsky. And I think if you're just honest with the book itself, you potentially have a crossover market. I know a lot of the books have just as many college-aged fans as really young kids. Mm-hmm. I think that, yeah, wacky humor is just all ages, I guess, yeah.
Now, with John Cheska and with Bob Shea, I mean, you work closely with people. Not a lot of times that's not the case, where the author and the illustrator work separately. But what do you think about that? Do you think it helps a lot to be connected? And what are some of the partnership relationships that you've had?
Yeah, traditionally, editors and publishers like to keep the writers and illustrators apart, which is really kind of nuts, because I know when I did big plans with Bob Shea, I'd call and say, what did you have in mind here? You know, you just I think their reasoning is it has to be a control issue. If they keep the writer and illustrator separate, then they can tell the illustrator one thing, then the writer another thing, and they probably don't want the duo ganging up on them. But it just seems insane that you wouldn't collaborate with the person you're illustrating for, because there's so many nuances that maybe I'm not picking up, and I'll just, ask the writer, what were you thinking? With Bob, I'm fortunate because he's an illustrator as well, so he can actually draw it out sometimes, little stick figures and things, and yeah, put the kid up here, and so it's great, yeah.
Now, your wife, Molly, I understand, introduced you to John Cheska and has also worked with you on your books as a designer. That's unusual as well. So how does that work? How do you both work with publishers?
Yeah, that's just, I can imagine working any other way. I did two books. My first two books were Halloween ABC and Flying Jake, and I worked with the art director at the publisher. And when Molly introduced me to John Sheska, Molly was coincidentally working with John's wife, Jerry, and they were art directors together at a sport magazine. It was called Sport, no longer around. And she introduced me to John, and we did True Story of the Three Little Pigs together, and I had some trouble with the cover because I wanted it to look like an old newspaper, and this was pre-computers, so all the type you see on the cover, we actually did with press type, which is type you get and you rub it into the actual painting like you would have done in the 1960s. And she was invaluable there because she obviously laid it out and made sure the spacing was correct on all the words. And then when we were ready to do Stinky Cheese Man, which had upside down pages and things reversed, we just came into the publisher and said, Molly has to do the whole book because we're figuring it out ourselves. We had too many stories, too much going on. We didn't even know. There was one reciprocal story in there where Jack is telling a story to the giant. He wants to put the giant to sleep by boring him with this story that keeps going on. And I think John had pictured it as type going around, which actually I think he got that from Remy Charlotte because it was in a Remy Charlotte book, same concept. And then when Molly came on board, she said, no, just make the type get smaller and smaller and smaller until it just falls off the bottom of the page. And again, that book was pre-computers. Now I'm sure you could just punch a button and make the type smaller, but she had to do it all by hand. And then after that, unexpectedly, that book became such a big hit that I just said, well, Molly's going to do all my books. And it's worked out great. And now that we are in the digital age, I will do my work on the computer. I'll send it over to her. She adds a type, sends it back to me, and I'll adjust my art because she'll need a little more space for the words or whatever, and send it back to her, and maybe we'll lose a word. And it's complete back and forth just so that the end result is that the final page will look great. So sometimes you might sacrifice words or images, but in the end it works together as a whole. Back in the old days, you would do an illustration, then you just leave a big space where the words would go. And it always seemed a little shoehorned. So it's great to go back and forth and make it all unified and cohesive.
So what medium do you use? Is it primarily digital?
It's, I guess, multimedia is the best explanation. When I did books like Stinky Cheese Man, it was collage. It was oil paint. And then I would collage paper and found objects into the artwork, and then I would maybe get sandpaper and sand off some of the oil paint, and I used to get pieces of scotch tape and put it down the oil and rip it off so you'd get these great textures. And now I start by hand. I'll usually start with pen and ink or pencil, and I'll draw it by hand, then I scan it into the computer, and then I'll paint those same oil textures with tape and weird textures. My favorite is to use oil paints with acrylic varnishes, and the water-based varnish and the oil, they beat up, you know, they have this reaction and it gets a strange texture. But I'll scan that into the computer, and then I combine it all in the computer. So I'm digitally doing basically what I used to do, which is collage, but I don't get my hands dirty now. It's great. So, and I still will find bits of ephemera and strange torn papers, and I'll scan them in and collage them onto the computer, but there's just no final painting. It's all in cyberspace. But it's the same technique. It's just updated.
It's been interesting talking with illustrators about how they're moving in at different speeds into working digitally. Wondered about the challenges I'm doing Hooray for Diff and Duford Day, because I mean, was it intimidating doing something by Dr. Seuss?
Yes.
Good. I thought there might be. So what was it like for you?
Janet Schulman, who is Seuss's longtime editor, knew that I was a big Seuss fan, and I worked with her on James and the Giant Peach. And when I would sit around her office, we just always talk about Seuss. And then about a year after we did Peach, she called and said, you know, I've I was working with Ted Geisel on this manuscript for years, because that's how he worked. He would work on it, put it in a drawer, come back, work on it. And she said, and you know, he died before he could finish it. And it's always been in the back of my head that we want to finish this Diffenduffer book. Actually, he didn't even have a title then. He had a list of titles, all kinds of crazy titles. And she said, would you want to do it? And I said, not really, because it just seemed a bit dodgy and dubious to do this posthumous book. And then she kept coming back to me. And then Molly actually said, well, how about if we include all of Seuss's original drawings and a little bit of biography information, and we put that in the back of the book, a different paper stock. So the book kind of works on its own, but also for scholars and Seuss geeks. Oh my God, that's Molly Leach.
So you also work with Bob Shea, and I wondered how you pick books that you want to illustrate.
Well, they really have to speak to my inner child. Bob, what do you think? Bob's sitting right here.
So, Bob, how do you pick books? Somebody would answer the question, but don't.
Clearly, he picks awesome books.
I can't do that across the room. You'll have to come over here. All right.
Okay. Freak out.
So you also work with...
I can't do it.
So you also work with Bob Shea. How do you pick books that you want to illustrate?
Well, that's an excellent question. You know, Bob, actually, he's a great guy. I actually have him. I carry around a little Velcro bag. Let me... Bob, come on out.
Hey, everybody.
It's Bob
Shea.
How
are you? You guys talking about me?
Just a little bit.
Oh,
so.
Good. And you're out of Kleenex.
Yeah, well, I guess, yeah, I didn't. Did you get enough air in there?
Enough.
Okay.
A little lightheaded. I'm all right.
Okay, so what was the question again?
Just that you work with Bob, and how do you pick books that you want to illustrate, or how do you both pick books that you want to illustrate now that you're both here?
I think Lane picked me one because I fit in his bag.
Right.
Which was... you know, unusual. And you have to remember that Mr. Smith receives 200 to 300 manuscripts a day.
Mm-hmm.
So only the ones that have a 50 tape to them does he consider.
Right. And Bob's got so much free time in the bag that he's one of the most prolific writers out there, aside from, well, I wanted to work with, do another book with Dahl and Suze, and they're dead. So it's just great to carry Bob around in the bag. He's got a little, what is it, a laptop in there?
Yeah, it's
and,
a laptop.
And it's funny because I carry him on my lap in the bag.
Yeah.
So and it's ironic that you're so little in the bag, but you wrote a book called Big Plans.
Well, you know, my aspirations of someday being larger.
Yeah. So how did you come about writing that book? What was the, just you were hoping to get out of the bag?
Well, you know, you stuff yourself in a bag for long enough, and eventually you're going to have bigger dreams of bigger and better things. So, if I could rule the world, then I would do that.
Dream on, baby. Back in the bag. Okay, next question.
I'm thinking what that could be. Do you, and maybe this answered that question, do you prefer sometimes to do your own books, and have you been doing more on your own? Both the writing and the illustrating, or?
Well, there's a certain satisfaction you get from when you write and illustrate your own stuff, but I'm always looking out for well-written things to illustrate. I don't really consider myself a writer. I consider myself an illustrator who likes to write sometimes, and for instance, you know, it's once in a lifetime you get something like Stinky Cheese or Big Plans, and I haven't worked with that many writers over the years, maybe 3 or 4. George Saunders was one that I worked with on a book, and Eve Mary, my very first book. But mostly I'm just excited about the material, and I can't always write it. I do receive, Bob is not too far off, I don't receive, you know, 200 manuscripts a day, but I maybe receive 10 a year, and I would say about 8 of them are not at all. I do these goofy books, and someone sends me a really sensitive book about, I don't know. So I just, it's such a treat to get something wacky. And I mean, Bob's sensibility is the same as mine, just totally off the wall humor. So that's my answer to that question.
Thank you for that. one last question, which is, what would you like to do, I mean, within the publishing book realm or not, but that you haven't done yet, or in your art?
I basically just want to keep doing what I am doing for until I die. So I think every book I do is different, and that's always the fun challenge is, you know, you can't wait to get on to the next thing. You could do a book about princesses, and then you could do a book about cheese men, and then kind of a retro hockey family. So it's, I think I have a short attention span. As soon as I finish one book, I'm ready to do a completely different look and style and direction. So it never gets stale or old. As far as doing something different, I've worked in films. I'm not, you know, it's kind of nice not to have to do that anymore, because that's so collaborative. You're working with hundreds, literally hundreds of people, animators, designers, and eventually things become sort of middle of the road, and because there are so many voices involved. And when you do a book, it's like you're directing a movie. You get to illustrate it and, you know, write it and design it, and it turns out exactly the way you want it. So I don't really have any grand aspirations to do fine arts, films, YA, any of that stuff. So I just want to keep doing what I'm doing the rest of my life, and hopefully books will still be around. They won't be digital holograms that you pull out of your ear. So that's my dream, that they'll just keep letting me do them. And if they don't, I'll do them for free anyway. Not really.
Great. Well, Lane, thanks very much for talking with me. It's been great.
Should I leave the bag here with Bob in it?
Yeah, please do. I would really like to talk with Bob, and if you can help facilitate that would be great.
Okay, Bob, they're going to talk to you now. I'll just give you a little air here in the bag.